Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 7th of March, recording at 9:40 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. In Asia, we had a mixed performance. The Nikkei was fairly weak. Australia was fairly weak, down 1.76 and 1.37% respectively. But China A-share indices had a surge and break out of a trading range, albeit within a lengthy base formation process overall. Now, in Europe, we had some seesaw activity here, but mostly closing with minor losses on the day. In the Americas, Wall Street and the other markets reversed some early gains, and Wall Street tried to make a late recovery, but that petered out in the last 10 minutes. We had a decline of 1.4% on the Nasdaq Composite Index, a decline of 0.83 on the Nasdaq. In long-dated government bonds, again, choppy action. That's really very much the theme, and it's a word I've been using a lot to describe activity here, but choppy action on the government bonds. For instance, U.S. 30-year treasuries, they were weak, and then they completely recovered as Wall Street weakened, went to the plus side, then gave up some ground again, and sort of all over the place within a range. The dollar recovered from some early losses to close with just some very slight gains here today, more often than not. Precious metals were quite choppy. Gold and silver. Silver really surged up to 36.74. That was a new recovery high for this move, although not a new all-time high, numerically speaking. Then it gave up about half of that move, but currently is trading around the 36 level in after-hours trading. And gold bullion had pushed up to a a new high as well, and got up to almost a 145. But is currently 133.50. Again, platinum got up to the top side of its range, fell back quite sharply from 847 to 801, currently 822.50. That's down 15, and palladium also down by a little bit, back down to 790 here today. The industrial metals were weaker. Copper had a sharp fall, down 13.8 cents. Nickel and, all the industrial metals were weaker, but nickel and tin had some of the sharper downward dynamics. And crude oil pushed up to, NYMEX crude pushed up to 106.95. It's currently 107.13. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, certainly crude oil is a huge influence, and that's moving around on the hour-by-hour news coming out of Libya. And it's keeping the markets on edge, one, because prices are high. They're not retreating back below $100. And prices for some of the products have continued to, petroleum products have continued to push higher. So that's caused understandable anxiety. And some of the grains and beans were quite firm, although I forgot to mention them in my review. Most of them were firmer early on and then were hit quite hard during the day, particularly wheat and soybeans. So if I used one word to describe the action overall, it's choppy. And that's consistent with a nervous time for investors, and when all eyes are focused on one main event, and that's really what the crude oil price is doing, and it's uncomfortably high. I'll put it that way. It's not so high as that we could use the word crisis, although it's certainly a crisis for Libyans who are experiencing civil war conditions. But the crude oil price is a definite headwind. This crude at these levels for Brent and for NYMEX can only be paring back GDP growth a little bit in here, and that's despite the very cheap price for natural gas. And thank heavens for that cheap natural gas price, because that's keeping or that's mitigating the effects of the higher crude oil prices overall. Now, in addition to that, we have the strength of the agricultural commodities, and one day of profit taking in here does not amount to a reversal, of course. So again, agricultural commodity prices are also historically high. In most instances, they haven't reached the extremes in terms of the big staple crops, such as corn, soybeans, wheat, rough rice. They haven't reached the heights that we saw in the first half of 2008, but those were severe levels and caused a lot of hardship. And this time around, though, we have seen some of the commodities move even higher. So there are no grounds for complacency in here, and therefore commodities, which I described for most of last year as an opportunity, but also an opportunity that would become the next problem. And as I've said in pretty much every one of these broadcasts for the last few weeks, that the problem has arrived, and it's going to be with us for a while. We would need to have some sort of conclusion of the Libyan situation, presently with the Gaddafi family leaving. I think that would possibly be the best results for the market, but that doesn't appear to be an immediate prospect, although I have no more than what I see on the news, as is probably the case with many of you. But I don't have too much trouble appreciating that the commodity prices that we have here today have really crowded out a number of other factors, which have really been mostly fairly positive for markets, such as the somewhat better performance of the U.S. employment figures, and also the consumer sentiment figures, albeit achieved with the help of steroids in the form of the QE2 program overall. So, where do we actually go from here? Well, the easiest thing for me to forecast is more of the same. We'll see more of this choppy activity. And again, it would be maybe a somewhat of an exaggeration to say that oil is everything, but it's the main part of the story here right now. So as oil goes, so will sentiment. Higher oil prices, and I think we'll see stock markets under pressure, particularly those that have not had a mean reversion corrective phase, and that includes Wall Street and most of Europe, had not had a mean correction, a reversion phase recently. They did last April, of course, and that was a major one. But I'm talking about the period of, in response to the period of persistent strength that we saw from November right on into well into February before the Middle East situation really began to dominate sentiment. So that left, as you know, that left Wall Street and a number of the European stock markets overextended after some very, very good runs overall. And that propensity to see some mean reversion from those levels, plus the oil and plus the commodity price situation, is likely to keep the uptrends in check. The few that have broken away included Russia last week, and that, of course, is a major producer of energy. So not surprising that perhaps that should be to the forefront. My feeling is that in this environment, that one certainly doesn't want to chase anything given the choppy action, and that includes precious metals, because they get plenty of reactions within what are still these overall upward trends. What's interesting to me is that gold and silver have clearly emerged as the monetary metals of preference. That's been happening for long enough recently, so one may feel that, well, that's the norm most of the time, isn't it? But on other occasions, we've seen, well, for instance, for much of last year, we saw palladium lead at times in the past in an earlier one of these medium-term cycles. Over the last decade, we saw the one before the current one, we saw platinum in the pole position. So that leadership has tended to change, but right now it's silver leading gold on the upside as the preferred precious metal plays. And what else to mention here? The rare earths and the uraniums, two sectors that I like quite a bit. Highly speculative overall, but the uraniums obviously are important to the energy story overall, and the rare earths have taken on strategic importance and as a consequence of the cutbacks on exports from China. And so that's just revitalized the whole sector and propelled prices quite a bit higher. So again, that's the speculative factor. Extremely high valuations, often for companies that aren't even in production yet. But such is the strategic importance of these metals now in so many, what I would describe just all-encompassing comment is just sort of techie items, but it's not always high tech. It's mobile phones, a big component, flat screen TVs, and so on. But just about anything involving technological developments of the last decade really require these rare earths metals. And when we went from cheap prices and reasonably abundant supply to suddenly seeing supply virtually cut off, well, as I say, it's revitalized the whole industry, and I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. In the choppy market conditions, it will produce enough setbacks so that one doesn't need to chase these prices on the upside. That's assuming that you want to participate in this volatile and speculative sector to begin with. At the other end of the spectrum, Owen's got a review of a high-yielding telecoms there, which look more interesting to us than a number of bonds, not least government bonds, which we favor shorting. And on that note, we look forward to another, no doubt, somewhat choppy day here tomorrow. When I say choppy, it's not enough for me, and it's not a euphemism for something quite sinister, but it does mean that we've reached a period here where markets are being buffeted by forces that have yet to subside, coming entirely from the commodities, and we can expect more of the same. So if you're looking to buy something, you want to be looking for pullbacks, and if you're looking to lighten in any positions overall, the other side of that choppiness is that we do still see some pretty good intraday rallies. And on that note, all the best to all of you.